If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today we're going to talk about the Darden family murders. A family murder mystery, Brandy.
Murder.
You're a big fan of murder.
Y'all a big fan of murder there, Devil. This sounds like a Scooby-Doo mystery to me, Timmy.
I do love Scooby-Doo mysteries.
I think that all of our listeners are big fans of murder.
Did the caretaker do it? Did they rip off his mask and the caretaker did it?
Well, it's a mystery, so we don't know, but perhaps.
Is there a dog?
I don't know if there's a dog or not. This is actually a very, very gruesome murder, so we should warn people ahead of time.
I feel like you just did.
Yes.
Well, here, let me give them the warning. To me, we are an adult comedy podcast. Although this one may not be as funny because we got people chopped up and thrown about and spread about Disneyland and all kinds of shit. But if you don't like that, if that's not your cup of tea, then I don't know how you even found us to begin with.
We also use adult language, Colonel, as you know.
Goddamn right we do. And would we
call it adult language, really? Because we sound like a bunch of 12-year-old boys.
Yeah, sophomoric language, I guess, would be better.
Sometimes we say pecker.
Yeah. Sometimes we talk about penis.
Or vagina
we
teeth.
We do, and I believe in this vagina one we're going to have a... This one we have a penis that plays a big role.
You know,
role
Colonel, of course you and I always have a healthy fear of vagina teeth. But you know what? Women need to be on guard for the penis teeth, Colonel.
Really?
Well, it's the penis pectorals, Timmy, like the catfish. Uh-huh. You know how the catfish got those fins?
Oh, wait a minute. So we have to be careful of barbs? Barbs?
Barbs, yeah.
On your
the penis barbs.
Okay.
Yeah, because some men just get in there and they don't want to let you go, Devil.
Yeah, so you got to be careful about that, Brandy. You really should read up on it. If you haven't.
I've been married a while, so I feel good. I feel safe. I feel all right.
All right.
Dave just keeps me hanging around because he promises to buy me pretty things.
But you are not, I'm trying to put this delicately. You are not inexperienced in your younger days.
Well, who among
so
us?
So you have never run across one of these?
Was.
We, Colonel, we would be the last people that would do slut shaming.
Oh,
and
yes.
Yet,
oh,
here
yes.
You are.
No, I'm proud of her. I mean, she was out there way before the whole Me Too movement being a, Me Three Way and
what?
Everything.
No. So. First of all, yes, I was a pioneer. Second of all, it's one of those things like you wouldn't buy a car without kicking the tires or taking it for a test drive. So
did you kick Dave? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I kicked Dave.
Before we go on, let me introduce our host, because some people might not know you, Brandy. She is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. All right, Brandy, how are you, if at all?
Well, Timmy, again, for the second straight day in a row, I have been up at 6 o'clock, like fucking farmers, on a Saturday.
Why are you Sunday. Getting up so early? You should sleep in sometime.
Well, let's see. It's this little 8-year-old bird that flies into my room, and its cry is, "Mom, Mom, 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 I'm hungry, Mom."
Well, young Noah has, he's a growing boy. He has to have his breakfast. I don't know why you would begrudge him that.
I'm not begrudging him that. He's begrudging me sleep. Hmm. So, again, up like farmers, no cows to milk, no seeds to sow.
I'm sorry.
You know,
Colonel, do you think that's enough brandy time?
Yeah, perfect.
Well, it seems like we've spent a little bit too much time on Brandy, but if she's, we haven't done this for a few weeks, she might have some, you know, she carries anger with her around like a backpack to me, so.
I do.
If she needs to get any of it out, it's probably best, rather than her pay $75 an hour for a therapist she so desperately needs.
Who has that kind of time?
Have you thought about seeking professional help, Brandy?
I don't know that there's a professional alive that can help me, but that's okay.
Let me introduce a man that needs no introduction. A man who is considered the moral compass of this podcast. A man who has been described as an oasis in a desert of despair.
By no one.
The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Timmy, until yesterday, it all changed, and I'm not good, Timmy.
What's wrong, Colonel? Tell us what ails you.
Well, it's really society in general, Timmy. And yesterday, of course, you know, I have some yard work to do. And I don't know if he was outside
yesterday. For you, for those who don't know, Colonel is a gentleman farmer, right?
Yes, I have my 3/4 of an estate over here in lovely west side of Cincinnati. Yes. So I'm cutting my grass and cutting down a little rose bush and doing some, you know, just some manly stuff.
You should get goats.
Manly stuff.
Oh, you should get goats.
I do want to get a goat. And
Keeping your lawn nice and tidy.
Yeah, tight.
They do.
And if you scare
them, don't
eat
grass.
The right kind,
you know, the sons of bitches eat everything. I learned this from our friend Stephen Potts, who lives on a farm. He doesn't have goats because goats don't eat what they're supposed to eat, Timmy. They eat everything but the grass. Hmm. But anyway, I'm doing my grass, and it was a rather warm day out yesterday. And so, you know, I take off my shirt.
Gross.
And,
like in public? Like where people can
see
you?
Well,
see,
here's the thing. And I'm completely behind this whole Me Too movement, right? But that works both
ways. I get this vision of you with a wallet that's chained to your belt. Is that?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I never lose it. So anyway.
Because it's important when you're mowing that you don't lose your wallet.
It is? Well.
I'm just saying, if the Me Too thing is going to work, it's got to work both ways.
Do you feel like you've been...
The whole time I was trying to cut grass and use my weed eater, Timmy, I was subject to catcalls.
You've been objectified.
Objectifying.
Or not.
Yes.
That did not happen. Even on the west side, that didn't happen.
Brandy, what's your thoughts about the Colonel being objectified like that?
It didn't happen, so... It did not happen.
Well, Colonel, I feel...
Oh,
I had women
driving by saying, here, hey, Colonel, come take care of my shrub.
They're not saying that.
It was just...
Oh, a lot of your female neighbors brung you over some lemonade.
Wait a minute. No.
They were.
No. No, that's what he heard. What they were actually saying was, please quit staring at me, you dirty old man. What he heard was, yeah, can you come over and take care of my bush? Which did not
That's
happen.
That's what they were saying.
They weren't.
Colonel, my bush needs some attention.
It does.
It needs a little trimming, Brandy.
Yeah, nope.
And I just thought, you know, if we're gonna do this thing, it's got to work both ways. The women got to treat the men properly too, Timmy.
You don't want to be treated like you're a sex object, Brandy. I mean, you know, that's fair.
Exactly. I got a brain, Timmy.
Well, yeah. Well, let's not get crazy, Colonel.
So let's simmer down.
Let's talk about the Darden family murders, shall we?
Sure. Is it Dardeen?
Yes, this sounds
Dardeen.
Like a
Is it Dardeen
thing.
Or Darden? What do you think?
I feel like it's Dardeen.
All right, we'll go with Dardeen.
It's Dardeen.
All right, we'll go with Dardeen. On a chilly autumn night, Brandy, in 1987. Of course, you were 45 then, something like that.
I wasn't.
Elaine Dardeen, as you would say, Elaine Dardeen was bound, gagged, and beaten to death inside of her family's mobile home. Well, see, first of all, never live in a mobile home if you can help it. Because you run, that's where all the murders happen, and they blow away.
That's where all
away.
The tornadoes go.
Yeah, they blow away when there's a tornado. It was the mobile home was itself on a wedge of land between farm fields and the Union Pacific Railroad that run through the tiny southern Illinois town of Ina, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Colonel, have you ever been in Ina, Illinois?
I've been there, Timmy.
Of course he has.
I've been there. And you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it was on the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
I see.
I've been in Ina a number of times, Timmy.
At the time of the murders, Ina had a population of just under 500. So it's amazing that you've been there, Colonel. Really?
It is. Is.
Well, I was just passing through.
I see.
Yeah, they... Wait a minute.
You was at the dairy
through.
Freeze there.
Yeah, no, he was run out of town, but that's okay.
The trauma of the beating forced Elaine Dardeen, who was seven... this is a little bit graphic. She was 7 months pregnant at the time, and the beating forced the beating that he gave her forced her to give birth during this attack. And her killer then clubbed the newborn little girl.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And also her 3-year-old son, Pete.
I feel like we made a pact a while ago, Chuck. Correct me if I'm wrong. No more kids.
Yeah, but this is a family murder, so I don't know how you can get... We can't, because, you know, we did a poll a while back asking people what they wanted to hear, and Unsolved Murder Mysteries was... top of the list, so...
This is unsolved?
Yeah, it's unsolved.
Son of a bitch!
Yeah.
I hate the goddamn things. You're giving us a script with no resolution.
Yeah, there's no closure, kids. Colonel. I'm sorry.
I feel empty the whole rest of the week.
I'm sorry about that.
As opposed to...
You know, I'm going to have to dig into this one, Timmy.
Now, the good news is...
We're going to solve it.
The good news is the attacker cleaned up the bloody mess, and then he tucked Elaine and her children in bed. 2 days later...
What the fuck?
Now, here's the thing. Here's what happened. Mr. Dardeen, Keith Dardeen, when this happened, Keith Dardeen was nowhere to be found, Brandy, which, as you can imagine...
Will make him rather suspect. Made
him a suspect. But...
Until...
2 days later, hunters in the nearby field found the body of Elaine's husband, Keith, shot in the head, and his... Genitals.
His what?
Mutilated.
For fuck's sake.
Cut off his penis, Brandy.
Junk.
What in the fuck? No, well, see, now that could be because if you're in the woods, Timmy, and you're dead, the first thing the animals will eat will be your genitalia.
I did not know that, Colonel.
Wait a minute, because it's...
It is.
Whatever. Because is that the first thing Sammy's going to go for after Timmy dies alone in his apartment? I thought it was the eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll be the eyes, but the eyes are not, you know.
Why would a raccoon go after your genitals, Colonel?
Well, you'd have to go
it's
through clothes.
Part.
Yeah, but you'd have to go through clothes unless he was just in the woods naked. Otherwise, they're going for the face because that's exposed. You go for the face and work your way down. Let's not be dumb.
No,
Chuck.
Regardless, he was
care.
Shot in the head.
Who care? They can't undo zippers.
He was shot in the head.
They can't pull down people's pants.
You have not seen the raccoons I've had to deal with. They will. They'll pull down your pants.
Regardless, he was shot in the head, so his death is somewhat suspicious.
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
All right. So since the murders, police have...
death, yes.
Yeah. Since the murders occurred, police have exhausted a puzzling array of theories. How do you like that, Colonel? A puzzling array.
Well, that's a good turn of phrase there, Timmy.
They ruled out. They looked at marital infidelity. They looked at the drugs as a possible motive. They looked at gambling as a possible motive. Even devil worshiping, Brandy, of course, something that you're familiar with. And it came up. They came up empty handed. So,
except for the detective that investigated all this shit, he came out all fucked up and needing therapy. He was into infidelity, yep. Drugs, gambling, and devil worship. That's not something you want to delve into.
In 2000, now this was 1987, right? 13 years later, in 2000, serial killer Tommy Lynn Sells, of course, Brandy's good friend, confessed to the crime after he was arrested in the state of Texas. Got a lot of listeners down in Texas so that's like us, Brandy. Yes. There's so many who don't like us, but we have some people in Texas that actually like us. By the way, Brandy, what did you think of that? Our latest review that questioned the contributions of the Colonel to the podcast.
Well, I think that you got it right when you called him Captain. First of all, you demoted him, which is amazing. And I thought it was mostly spot on.
Colonel, your thoughts on Adult Swimmer?
I often feel that way.
Who said, Colonel, that that you're not funny? Your thoughts, Colonel?
Well, they wouldn't. He probably wouldn't think I was funny because he was probably a guy that I have offended in some way. I did not really get the bigotry part of it because if he would have said he's sexist and misogynistic and
that would have been
just insensitive.
That would have been spot on. Get behind.
But the bigotry part, I don't even remember the episode, so maybe I could have been. I don't know.
It was the episode where it was on the twins, the co-joined twins, Marsha and Dasha or whatever her name. Yeah, I think you might have said something about the Russians. Could be.
Were they not a Caucasian?
Well, but you know, maybe they felt that you were a little bit tough on the Russians. I don't know. I don't know, Colonel.
Tough on the Ruskies.
Yes, I'm tough on the Ruskies.
It just seems very articulate to me that they kind of got the gist of the whole podcast, I thought.
And
me, Brandy.
Well, and I feel like they were a very educated person.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
No, they weren't. Here, I'll tell you why they weren't an educated person. Because they didn't like the podcast. And that goddamn episode was about an hour and a half long. And they sat through the whole hour and a half. Now, how goddamn dumb do you gotta be? If you take a bite of a sandwich and it tastes like hell, you don't eat the rest of the sandwich. If you walk
you
into
do.
A movie and, well, yeah, because I like to eat. But,
so if you haven't left us a review on iTunes, please do so and support the Colonel because he got a very, very tough review.
And been demoted.
Scathing review.
And he got demoted.
And they called him a captain. And they called him a bigot. They said he wasn't funny. So if you think the Colonel is funny, then you got a lot of problems. But anyway, leave a review.
I feel like that person was speaking their truth, though. I feel like they were speaking truth to power.
Yeah. Mm.
I think it was a you know, we have a lot of podcasts jealous of us, Timmy.
Oh, you think it was our competition, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people particularly jealous of me.
Well, you know.
So I think it was a revenge review is what I think it was.
You think maybe Ben with They Walk Among Us or Nina with
Yes. Yes, it had to be
already
Ben.
Gone.
I think they're starting to get a little concerned about us, Timmy.
Yeah, I think you think that we're like on the hills. Like they get like a million downloads a day but they're concerned about us.
But they're a little bit nervous about us.
They should be. Yeah. There's three of us and only two of them.
Now, that's a good point.
Yeah.
See?
All right. So, serial killer Tommy Lynn Sells confessed to the crime after he was arrested in Texas. However, police and other members of the Dardeen family did not completely believe his accounts, which changed three times. So, Tommy Lee Sells, in addition to be a serial killer, Brandy,
was a liar.
He messed with the truth, yeah. He did not seem to know any non-public information about the crime. So everything he told him he could have got on, you know, on the internet or whatever. He was never charged. He was never charged. Tommy Lee Sells was never charged with the Dardeen murders. And he was executed in 2014, leaving the Dardeen killings unsolved. So we're going to talk about the Dardenne killings. That was just the introduction, Colonel. You thought it was the whole podcast.
Well, that was pretty goddamn gross. Yeah, I thought that. You just wrapped up the story in that one.
You thought we were done.
I mean, that's how concise you write.
Thank
to
you,
me.
Colonel.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a statement on how concise you can write a script.
Thank you, Colonel. In 1987, Keith Dardenne was 29 years old, Brandy. He was from the small town of Mount Carmel, Illinois. In 1981, Keith met and married 24-year-old Ruby Elaine Stratton. They got married in her hometown of Albina. I think that's what it is.
Albion,
Illinois. Small town near Mount Carmel. And a few years later, Elaine gave birth to the couple's first child, a boy that they named Pete. So we got Pete, we've got Elaine, and Keith, they're the married couple, and we got Pete, the little boy. Keith supported his family by working as a clerk at a local convenience store outside of Albion. Okay. Keith assertively searched for better job opportunities because, you know, that was not his, you know, he did not achieve his career goals by being a clerk at the convenience store.
How do you assertively search? Did he just walk in and say, look here,
motherfucker, I need a job.
I want a job and give it to me now.
Maybe.
Good Lord.
In 1985, of course, Brandy, you were just turning 40. Keith was offered a well-paying position as a treatment plant operator. Is that what Dave does?
Yeah.
At the Wren Lake Water Conservancy District in nearby Ena, Illinois. So he's working at the water plant, doing what Dave
does.
Have
you read this script already?
Because I wrote this like weeks ago. So this is new to me, just like you guys. The pay would support Keith's growing family and allow the family to save for a house. It's always good. Home ownership is always good, Colonel. In the meantime, the family...
Not necessarily, because then you got to cut the grass, then you get sexually harassed and catcalled and objectified by all the women in the neighborhood.
No, stop.
I'm gonna hire somebody to cut the grass next time.
Your delusion is
They don't do it
ridiculous.
To Logan.
In the meantime, the family rented a small trailer outside of Ena. Elaine took a job at an office supply store in Mount Vernon, Illinois, a few miles away. In the spring of 1987, Elaine learned that she was pregnant, Brandy, with the couple's second child, which was due around the holidays. So she's going to be pregnant during the holidays.
Ugh. There's nothing worse than a pregnant woman bopping around the house during the holidays, Timmy.
You're an idiot.
No, they can't carry any heavy boxes.
Well, they can't help putting up the tree.
Right. But they can stand there and tell you how you're doing it wrong.
Well, I think if you would do as it the right. Colonel, you know, as one of my favorite, we had some people asked for the favorite quotes of us on a Facebook group yesterday, and my favorite one of yours, Colonel, is "Nothing will fuck up Christmas like a Christmas tree." That is some wisdom there, Brandy.
Christmas,
Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I just put a menorah in the window, Timmy, and I'm done with it now.
I see. So in the spring of 1987, she learned she was pregnant. They decided to name the child Ian or Casey, depending on whether it was a boy or a girl. I guess Ian would be the boy and Casey would be the girl, right? Because Casey could be either. We got your brother's name. How is Casey, by the way, Brandy?
I don't know.
Yeah. Even though Keith had a good-paying job, the couple were considering moving. Like I said, they're looking for a house. First, the couple felt the trailer was not large enough to house their growing family, which makes sense, Brandy.
Yeah.
Well, it should have got them a nice double.
But, I mean, he's got a pretty good job. I don't know why. The couple wanted to have more children, and the four-room trailer was just not large enough for them. By the summer of 1987, a couple had put up their mobile home for sale, but the couple didn't want to move out of the trailer. They wanted to move out of Ena altogether. So they're ready to pull up stakes and move, even though she is pregnant. Keith told his family and friends the couple would move back to Mount Carmel even if he were unable to find a job. So he's going to leave Brandy the job at the treating plant, even though she's pregnant. I don't know if this is well thought out, but
yeah.
Didn't seem like he had a good plan there, Timmy.
They're talking of.
Have you noticed, Timmy? They don't call trailers anymore. They call them modular homes.
I did not know that.
They do. And these things, Timmy, are pretty goddamn impressive.
Well, Brandy, as you know, likes the tiny homes.
She likes the tiny homes.
Fucking
yeah.
Tiny homes. Look, first of all, they call them mobile homes. A modular home is different.
What's the difference?
A modular home is different. Modular home comes in. Yeah. So double wide or trailer is like one piece and you set it, whatever. You set it down on your trailer park or whatever. A modular home gets put on a piece of land and there's different sections to it. So it's basically like you're buying all the prefab parts and then gluing them together like a dollhouse.
It's like a puzzle then.
Yeah.
Hmm.
See, I thought the modular homes were just a new word for trailers.
You don't know shit from apple butter. They're called mobile homes they're mobile.
Modular homes are not mobile. Because I live in Lebanon, Ohio.
So it sounds like sounds like you've corrected him, Brandy.
I have.
Well, it sounds like she's got quite a bit of experience. Sounds like you got a lot of experience in trailer parks, though. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Anyway.
You know, more than you would think.
Keith had told his friends that he didn't want to give up his job, but he wanted to get out of Ina because the area was becoming too violent for his family. So that's an interesting observation, don't you think, Brandy? There had been 15 homicides.
Jeez,
in Jefferson.
They only have 500 people for fuck's sake. Walking around
15
carrying
homicides. They didn't have 15 homicides in Ina, which would have, wiped out a third of their population.
Right.
It was in the whole county.
Yeah, Jefferson County during the previous 2 years, starting with those committed by Thomas Odell, a Mount Vernon teenager who killed his parents and three siblings as they individually returned home one night in 1985. That sounds like an interesting case. We have to look that one up. The Odell was, as well as some of those charged with murder in other cases, had been convicted. Residents in the rural area had become fearful and stressed, Brandy. So everyone was on edge because
I can see how that happens.
These murders. But that Odell case, I'm going to have to look it up. A friend of Keith said that after a 10-year-old girl had been raped and murdered in the area in May of 1987, he became very protective of his family. That one night when a young woman came to their home asking if she could make a phone call, he refused to let her in. He was so spooked.
It's kind of a dick move, though.
I wouldn't let her in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'd have shot her right off the damn porch.
You'd take a baseball bat, teach her to ask.
I like to, and I have a bad habit. It sounds almost like snobbery. Because, and this is just a statement on human nature, okay, to me. I will mock trailer parks, but I grew up in a housing project.
Yeah. So isn't that ironic, Brandy?
Well, it's the human condition that you can always find someone, no matter how horrid your station in life is, you can always feel good about yourself if you can look at somebody else, Timmy.
Your third asshole guy.
Well, at least I'm not living in a trailer park.
Yeah, as long as you got someone you can put down, you're okay, is what you're saying.
Exactly. If you can just find somebody to look down on.
Chuck Walters, everybody, humanitarian. Thank you very much.
Right.
Keith's behavior is...
So that's the key to happiness, is what I'm trying to tell people. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Just find people that you can look down on. That's all you have to do.
Keith's behavior, it has been said, Brandy, bordered on paranoia. He would often sit by the window of the trailer and seem spooked when cars would drive down the gravel road adjacent to the property. Keith would keep a loaded shotgun near the door of the trailer. Elaine and Keith would argue about having a loaded weapon in the home near their young son. So his behavior is a little questionable, Brandy.
Yeah.
Well, you got people dropping like flies out there. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not unsolved. I mean, you know, the one guy killed his family.
It's like Vietnam in 68 out in that county, Timmy. I'd be carrying a shotgun, too.
Despite Keith's odd behavior, the couple seemed happy, Brandy. To all who knew, they appeared to be in love, Brandy. Of course, you and young Dave are in love. That is how they
okay.
were. The couple were...
You know that you know what that brings to mind,
what's that,
Kurt? When you say in love? Really one of the greatest love.
It's really the greatest gift of all, Colonel.
It is, and when you think about love and you think about love songs, who do you think about, Tim?
Whitney Houston. Captain and Neil.
Whitney, well, the Bee Gees come to mind.
Not the Bee Gees, Timmy. This is a Canadian
you're going to have to help me, Colonel.
It's Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot.
You know Gordon Lightfoot back in the 70s was getting more women throwing panties at his feet than anybody that carried a guitar.
Well.
So let's do it. If you could read my mind, love. What a tale my thoughts could tell. Now, how could you write a...
Why did I think you were going to sing like the wreck of the end of Fitzgerald? Movie.
I like I Captain and Daniel better.
Wishing well.
Is Captain really Captain, though? I'm not sure. I think he's like the Colonel here. I don't think he...
I know. Well, I'm pretty sure. But he did have the cool hat.
Yeah, but he was bald under that hat, dude. That's why he wore the hat.
He was.
Yeah,
dude,
but...
Gordon Lightfoot had the mustache. He had everything.
He had the sideburns, too. Women like the sideburns, Brandy, because it rubs up against their thighs when a man is down there doing his business. Isn't that right, Colonel?
No, they do. No. They love those big pork chop sideburns.
They do. Yeah, they do.
So I forget where I was in the song. Tonight.
Neither of you have sideburns. I want that noted.
In a castle dark.
I did in the 70s.
Well,
no,
I had to get that verse in, Timmy. If you remember from the board, we told our friend Amber Butler Hall that we would sing a song for
her.
The night she was having a rough time. And we're glad she's all right because she's down in Virginia Beach, Timmy.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened not far from where she was located.
That was just like yesterday, before yesterday.
That song had to go get thrown out there for her because she challenged me to sing Gordon. And I think I sang it in a...
Well, I would love to hear you sing The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, Colonel. That is...
There's a love song.
That's a long song, Timmy, but I can do it.
Well, maybe next time.
I can do it.
Maybe next time. If anyone asks for it, you'll do it.
Or never.
So it probably doesn't happen.
That's a song. It's pretty. Because on that song, the legend lives on from the pickle on down.
To the big lake.
To the big lake they call Getcha Goonie, Timmy.
I don't think Getcha Goonie is dead.
And that lake, it is said, never gives up its dead.
Can we not?
I'm sorry, Devil?
Can we move on with these people here?
All right, maybe next time, Colonel. You double check the lyrics on that, if you would. So, anyway, the couple Keith and Elaine were in love, even though he's acting odd. The couple were active in the local Baptist church, where they both were in the choir. Things were going well at Keith's job, where he received several raises and was considered one of the plant's most reliable employees. He never missed work, and he was never late, Brandy. That is something that is to be admired. On November 18, 1987... Keith's supervisor became concerned when he did not show up for work because, as I said, he never missed work. He was always there on time. And so he became concerned, and he tried to reach Keith, but he couldn't. And this was for cell phones, of course, but he was unable to reach him. So he was also Keith's supervisor, in addition to being his boss, was also a family friend. He tried to call the trailer, but there was no answer, so when Keith did not show up, his supervisor placed calls both to Keith's parents, who lived nearby, and they had not heard from Keith or Elaine. As the hours passed, Keith's supervisor became more and more concerned. Finally, still unable to reach Keith, later in the evening, he contacted the local police department. By evening, the police went to the Dardeen family home trailer to investigate. When they got there, they met Don Dardeen, which is Keith's father, who had brought an extra set of keys to the trailer. And what they found, Brandy, was shocking. The crime scene was so violent and gruesome that it would haunt everyone's involved in it for years to come. I thought he cleaned up the place. Elaine...
But even if you clean up the place, you got three people that have been bludgeoned to death, Timmy.
Elaine is a little insensitive of me, I guess. Elaine Dardine and her three-year-old son, Peter, had been beaten to death with a baseball bat that had been a birthday present to Peter from his father earlier in the year.
That was a mistake there, Timmy.
Yeah, he should have went with a...
I never gave my boys... I had three boys. I would not allow them to have baseball bats, Timmy.
Being seven...
Because I was afraid to sleep at night if they had baseball bats. I gave them Nerf stuff. Stuff that couldn't hurt me real bad.
Being 7 months pregnant at the time, the beating caused Elaine to go into labor. The killer or killers had shown no mercy, however, and the newborn was beaten to death as well. Elaine was bound with duct tape and gagged, and all three victims were tucked in the bed together. The area had been cleaned up, indicating that the killer or killers had been in no hurry to vacate the crime scene. Despite the killer's efforts to clean the trailer, blood splatter covered the sofa, walls, and even the ceiling. So, and they didn't clean up very well, it didn't sound like. With Elaine and Pete and the unborn child brutally murdered inside the trailer, and Keith Dardine nowhere to be found, it first appeared to the police to be a domestic violence-related homicide. The police was now focused on locating one Keith Dardine. And that is...
Now, I'm no expert. This sounds like a personal thing.
Because
me,
it was so brutal, you mean?
Yeah, it sounds like if you know, just a home invasion robbery or something like that.
You gotta be a special kind of piece of shit.
Yeah, you might shoot somebody
to
or
beat
you know.
People to death like that. Well, especially children.
Tommy Lynn Sells is a special piece of shit, so there is that theory. But
yes.
Tell us what happens next, Brandy.
The three-year-old, they can't identify.
Right.
You know, you just...
I mean, why?
And the newborn, obviously.
Yeah, the newborn, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just people, one person or two people, I don't know, but it was just some kind of insane bloodlust.
And the fact that they stuck around after they did it, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Well, the initial suspicion that Keith Dardine had brutally murdered his own family were quickly laid to rest when the body was found the following day lying in a nearby field. He had been shot three times and his penis was cut off.
This might be a penis snatcher, Brandy. Have you ever considered that?
I had not.
Colonel, you know, we did that episode on the penis snatcher.
We did. This whole thing might be just about his penis.
This might be a snatcher, Brandy.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I don't think so.
All right.
So, police...
Did they ever find his penis?
I don't know yet. Police found Keith's car.
They posted pictures of it throughout the community.
Yeah, I was missing. It's on missing posters. Fucking idiot.
Missing penis.
On milk cartons and shit. Fucking shit.
It quite disturbed the second graders when they went for their lunch.
Well, you know.
Have you seen this penis?
Have you seen this? And all the kids that came forward that said yes, they started as special counseling for them.
Continue, Brandy.
So police found Keith's car parked outside the police station. Okay.
Well, that takes some balls there.
Well, never mind the fact that, you know, they were whatever. It was in the nearby town of Benton, some 11 miles from the Dardine home. Blood on the interior indicated it was likely the site of Keith Dardine's murder.
Yeah, outside the police station. That takes some balls.
It does, of which he might have none at this point.
Hmm.
So such a brutal crime would have been enough to shock a rural community, but the fact that the Dardines were not the first victims in the area created a lot of apprehension in the small community. Police worked quickly to identify potential suspects in order to calm the community. While the spate of murders seemed unrelated, it was enough to drive locals into an intense state of fear. During the days and weeks following the discovery of the Dardine family murders, locals took to openly carrying shotguns and after school basketball games, students would wait in the school building for their parents to come in and accompany them to the parking lot for their ride home instead of socializing outside as they normally would.
Oh, so they didn't take shotguns to the basketball game because that would put a lot of pressure on the referees, I would think.
I would think.
That would put a lot. But, you know, and I don't mean to make light of this, but...
But you will.
If they were beaten to death with baseball bats, I mean, you would kind of see the bad guy coming. You know, it's not like you can hide a baseball bat.
Yeah, but that guy didn't bring the baseball bat. He just used what was there.
Oh, yeah. That was a weapon of opportunity.
Right. So, I mean, if you could pay attention and keep up with the adults, that'd be great.
No, I'm just saying, okay,
but the guy did not have a lot of balls. I mean, when he came up across a full-grown man, he shot him, right? He cut his penis off. But with the pregnant woman, he hits with a baseball bat. So he's not the most manly of killers.
No, he's a shitheel. The coroner in nearby Franklin County was quoted as saying that locals were so afraid to let strangers into their homes that if he ran out of gas on a country road, he wouldn't even bother knocking on the door and would simply walk to the highway and hitch a ride because they would pick him up.
How many times is this motherfucker running out of gas?
Well, I think they're saying that people would. But, you know, I wouldn't do... Would you go up to someone's house in the middle of the night out in the country if you ran out of gas? I don't think I would. You take a chance of getting shot.
Yeah, but here's the beauty of it. He wouldn't do that. He would go hitch a ride. Oh. Because somebody would pick him up. Yeah, that's makes more sense.
That's safer, yeah.
Yes.
You know, on those country roads, Timmy, now, this is just a brief interlude here, but me and my friend was involved in a rather serious accident on one of those backcountry roads. And I was the only one physically capable of going to get help. So I walked, Timmy. I must have walked a mile. It seemed like a mile on this country road. And I finally found a house. This is back before cell phones.
You know, a mile is not that far, right?
I finally found a house. It is when your nose is broken and you got a cut above your eye bleeding down your face and you're the one in best shape to go get an ambulance for the other five people. So I'm walking down this country road, Timmy, and I find a house and it's like one of those, you know, haunted hill houses, you know, scary things in the country, and a long driveway going back. And I'm like, finally I'm safe because I'm tired, I'm dizzy, you know, I'm kind of hurt. Walk all the way halfway up this driveway. They got a goddamn German Shepherd chained to a tree that can reach me, Jimmy. I had to run away from the German Shepherd, get back to the road. By that time, I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I just laid down in the grass. Finally, I heard the police come, and they, you know, everybody ended up being all right. But who chains a German Shepherd to the tree?
I love the story. You remember the guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd when they had their plane crash? And the guy goes and gets help, and they shoot him for trespassing.
Yeah, that's
fucked up.
Yeah. Good Lord.
That's what this was like to me. And I was like, oh, finally, safety. And I get halfway up the driveway, and I see this. It was like a werewolf kind of to me. It had red eyes and big white teeth. And it was chained to a tree. They had it chained around the tree, and it started chasing me. I had to run back to the road, and then I just said, you know what? I don't care. I'm laying down.
Yeah, that wasn't
but
your day,
Colonel. Everybody survived.
That was a bad day.
It wasn't my day. It was not my day.
It would
day
not today. Be like Ice Cube brandy. Today was not a good day.
It wasn't a good day. All right.
Can you do a little Ice Cube for us there, Colonel?
No.
Well.
No, come on. You know,
I'll let Brandy continue. I've had an interlude here. I'd like to get back to the
story.
Okay,
all right.
I'm kind of engrossed in this.
Would you? All right. In spite of a
because I had a bad day. Take a one down.
That's Ice Cube.
Sing a sad song. Just turn it around.
It's one of the. It didn't get released. It's funny.
Sounds like Ice Cube.
Yeah, that was one of Ice Cube's. That was the B side. Yeah. Ice Cube B side.
Yeah. All right. So in spite of a massive investigation involving 30 detectives dedicating full-time work to the case and interviewing more than 100 people, The police were not able to determine a motive for the killings, let alone find a likely suspect. As the killings went unsolved, the community became more alarmed. Early reports from the police about the crime were limited and sometimes contradictory, allowing rumors to spread. The two counties' respective coroners differed on whether Keith had died of a head injury or been shot. What? Weren't they, when they'd been, okay, whatever. Whether Keith had died of a head injury or been shot, among those who reported the former, it was said that it had been inflicted when he was dragged from the car. Circumstances under which Elizabeth gave birth, perhaps posthumously, to her short-lived daughter, gave rise to stories that Casey, as the family called her, had been ripped from her mother's womb.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Ah.
Hmm. Along with the mutilation of Keith's genitals, this supported speculation.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Speculation that Satanists were active in the area and had performed a ritual sacrifice of the family.
Now, Brandy, that's your people. Are they into mutilated genitals? Do you discuss?
Will they just rip your pecker?
Do they discuss
off?
That? Do they do that at your meetings?
No.
Do you have cookies at the meetings?
Yes, we have cookies. They're delightful.
And genitals.
Rainbow cookies.
And they have genitals.
They have little pentagrams on with little pentagram icing on the cookies, and it's like, here you go, have a sugar cookie.
No, they're rainbows and unicorn iced. They're beautiful. All right, so let's see. The crime also was said to be the work, along with three other local unsolved murders, of a regional serial killer. Soon, local police agencies joined forces with the Illinois State Police to investigate the crime. A total of 30 detectives worked full-time following leads and interviewing 100 people, which is what they set up here that they were doing, and none of what they found proved fruitful. A man was taken into custody early on and then was released after being questioned. Likewise, a co-worker of Keith's, whom he reportedly had been having a dispute, was cleared. No one who knew the couple had anything bad to say about them. So it'd be like if I died.
Yeah, they would only have positive things to say about you, Brandy.
Exactly.
No.
No, you know what it would be? I don't know what happened. She was just getting her life together. She was starting to take care of her kids.
Well, she was a wonderful mother.
Diploma.
She was a lovely person. But we've heard rumors about her and her economics professor.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
A small quantity of marijuana was found in the trailer, but
the
not
smoke
enough.
The marijuana, Colonel.
But not
the
enough to suggest
lettuce,
that they were involved in dealing.
Hmm.
Police believe that the marijuana might have been inadvertently left behind by the killer or killers.
Oh, I bet they were pissed.
Because the autopsies found no drugs or alcohol in any of the victims. Dude, do you want to be the guy that left your pot behind at a murder scene?
No. That's going to piss them off.
Might as well leave your driver's license behind.
Yeah, The coroners put the time of death for all the Dardeens at within an hour of each other. The bodies in the trailer have been killed 12 hours before they were found, and Keith had been dead for 24 to 36 hours when he was found. Resolving this question, however, made it harder to determine how the crime had been committed.
So wait a minute.
Since
so
Keith's
they were
body
killed,
was found away from the trailer.
So he was killed 24 hours He was killed 12 hours before he was found. Yeah, because yes. He was found a couple days later. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But they all died within an hour.
Same
of
time.
Each other.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Resolving this question, however, made it harder to determine how the crimes had been committed since Keith's body was found away from the trailer, and he may have been killed at that location rather than with his family. At the trailer, the killer or killers had apparently taken the time to not only tuck Elizabeth's body into bed along with her children's bodies, but also to clean up the scene, suggesting they did not feel any sense of urgency to leave. The amount of effort involved led police to theorize that the crime may have taken place at night. These people are all over it. It was also an open question as to whether there was one killer or multiple killers. With not much physical evidence to go on, investigators started to look at possible motives for the killings. Determining the motive of the assailants was a particularly difficult part of the case. The back door of the trailer had been left open, but there was no evidence because there was no evidence. Wait a minute. The back door of the trailer had been left open, and there was no evidence of forced entry. A VCR and portable camera were in plain sight in the living room. Elsewhere in the house, equally accessible cash and jewelry remained. These facts argued against robbery as the motive. Elaine had not been raped or sexually assaulted. Investigators found no evidence of any extramarital affairs involving either Keith or Elaine that might have motivated the other party into a jealous rage.
So they were basically just living a clean life.
Yeah, they
just
were just doing their thing.
Business.
Yeah, having kids, doing their thing. Yeah, now this is shitty.
These are the kind of cases that bother me because there's so many people that really got it coming.
Yeah, these people sound like they
were just... It doesn't sound like these people had it coming.
Yeah, they were just living their life.
Yeah.
A stack of papers with sports scores written on them was found in the house and led them to wonder on whether Keith might have incurred gambling debts. However, Joanne Dardeen told police her son had no interest in gambling and was so frugal that he raised money for his young son's college fund by reselling 50-cent cans of soda at work for a small profit.
Good Lord. He had no idea what college was going to cost.
Well, you know, at the time...
87. Yeah. You know, my first full-time tuition when I started college was $330. Fees and everything. Tuition, fees, $330 a quarter.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Now it's about, $1,000 a credit hour, if not more?
Yeah. Now I owe $40,000 for my education.
Yeah.
That has gotten me into a job working with you two yahoos.
Yes.
So, there's
congratulations.
Right.
I do not have... college debt, devil.
I know, because you have two GEDs and you didn't go to college for any amount of time. I know, I've heard this story. What I haven't heard
have you
is
heard about his baseball career?
So
because he got
I have okay. so many fucking okay. times I've heard
he I've I mean heard. He was going to play Division I baseball. That's pretty impressive.
I know he was and jacked up his shoulder.
And you played Division I softball, right?
I played Division II.
Oh, okay. But still, that's
with
that's
other
impressive.
Girls. Let's explore that a little bit, Devil.
I don't need to because I'm.
Was there any lesbianism involved?
Not with me.
Hmm.
The police expert on cults told the newspaper that the rumor that Satanists were responsible was untrue, since such groups would often mutilate bodies more extremely, harvest the organs, and leave symbols and lit candles at the scene of their crimes.
Is that what you do? Is that pretty consistent, Brandy? Is that true? Do you harvest
sure.
organs?
No, I have
do
not.
Do you have one of those long candle lighters, Devil? Or
I do.
Or do you use a Bic and burn your thumb?
No, okay. I have one of the long ones. Investigators do not believe the Dardeens were randomly chosen, but speculate that it might have well been a case of mistaken identity.
Oops.
There was, that's got to suck.
Yeah. There was also speculation that the killers wanted Keith to sell drugs, and he refused to do so, or perhaps Elaine had a deranged stalker.
Yeah, they're just fucking
since
guessing.
Since this is still an open case, I know. Since this is still an open case, any investigations into these theories remained in the police record. Eventually, the police exhausted all leads and had to start working other cases. Two FBI profilers came to the area to review the evidence. They were able to make some suggestions, but generally found that the crime defied their typical analytic methods. The case grew cold, and eventually those in the community went back to their normal lives.
Timmy, I think they need me and you to come down there and take a look at this whole
thing.
Well,
bring us home, Colonel.
Well, okay, Timmy. As time passed and the case grew colder and colder, Joanne, Keith's mother, she pressured authorities to try to solve this murder. Jolene.
I love that song. I need you to stop.
Okay, you don't like that song.
She could just take a man if she wanted it, Colonel, if she wanted one. She could just take a man. It doesn't matter. She could, because she says, please don't take him just because you can.
Just because you can, devil. Don't take
but
the man.
But, you know, she must be pretty hot
devil.
To be able to take Dolly Parton's man because she got big boobies, Colonel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you gotta go that extra mile to take Dolly.
So
man.
Whoever Jolene must have pretty big boobies if she's got bigger boobies than Dolly Parton, Brandy.
Oh, my God. Stop saying boobies.
It'd be hard to find a woman who has bigger boobies.
Well, Jolene apparently had them.
Yeah, she had some knockers on her. Dolly didn't put that in there. But
it's implied.
Jolene. So where was I, Timmy? Oh, she gathered. So this woman goes
she's
out.
She's Keith's mother, right?
She's walking around
Joanne.
Town.
Joanne is Keith's mother. Yeah.
Yeah, she gets 3,000 signatures because she wants to get on the Oprah Winfrey show to do a segment on the murders.
That's good. That's a good plan.
Yeah. Really, she just wanted to get on that when Oprah says, you get a car. But anyway, Oprah decided it was just a little too graphic for daytime television. And even America's Most Wanted passed on it. But they did later do a segment in 1988 that produced no
It was
news.
A 1998, but that's okay.
1998, yeah. It wasn't until the year 2000 that new light was thrown upon a brutal slaying of the Dardenne family.
New light, Brandy.
New light. That's when Tommy Lynn Sells, who'd been arrested for cutting the throats of two girls in Del Rio, Texas, began confessing to all kinds of murders. And he was a carny, Timmy.
Oh, he's a carny, Brandy.
He rode the rails.
Brandy, have you ever dated a carny? I know that's like, is the sky blue, but could you tell us about your relationships with carnies?
No.
You know,
I have dated a carny, but no, I will not tell you about it.
You know what I have a hard time, Colonel, is that those little milk balls that you try to knock down, you're supposed to knock down. You know, you get a ball.
Yeah.
And these milk balls, they weigh about 7,000 pounds.
Are you talking about milk bottles?
Huh?
Milk bottles?
Yeah, milk bottles, right. And you take a ball and you try to knock them.
You say milk balls, what?
Whatever. The milk bottles that you try to, and they weigh like 7,000 pounds. They're like lead, right?
Yeah.
In my hometown, we had a tornado come through my hometown. I mean, it did like $1 million of damage, knocked down everything. The only thing in town left standing was those little milk bottles, Colonel.
$1 million in damage. Knocked down the whole town, did $1 million in damage.
Well, it was in the 70s.
Portsmouth is a modest place. Well, now, Sells confessed to all this. He said he met Keith at a truck stop, or maybe a pool hall, and invited him home to dinner. Well, Keith then propositioned Sells to engage in a devil's threesome.
Oh, never get involved with a threesome with a carny, Brandy. That should be something that you...
No.
That's a rule to live by right there.
And he was a hobo, too, Timmy, because he rode
the
rails.
Yeah, he's a hobo and a carny.
From carny to carny.
He just tells people he's a carny. That's just to try to gain people's trust.
He told people he was a carny because he didn't want them to know he was a hobo.
Right.
That's... So part of the problem with his confession is he didn't always stick to his own story.
What if we have any carnies that listen to our podcast?
We have a few. We have a few. I think Jesse Macri is a carny.
Does he manage the ring toss where they throw little rings over the pop bottles?
Jessica, I don't know what she does there, Timmy, but I don't know for this for sure. I'm just speculating, personality-wise, Jessica would be good at the carny work, just standing out there hawking and bar, you know, come on, give it a try, give it a whirl, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So
she would have like one of those little aprons that, you know, get all the change and stuff in it. Yeah.
Yeah. To get you in the little tunnel of love ride, you know, where you go in and try to kiss your bride or your
right on the mouth.
Your date, Timmy. Yeah. Hmm. That never worked for me. Now, not only did this story keep changing, but he didn't even know facts about the case that were well publicized. Well,
he did not know information, Brandy, that he should have known if he was the killer.
He was kind of a dummy, Timmy.
Mm. What an idiot.
And in the mid-1980s, Sells was living primarily near St. Louis, roughly 90 miles northwest of Jefferson County.
Okay, so he was in the area.
Yeah, he was making money from working at traveling carnivals and fairs and a day laborer. And, well, of course because he was a hobo, he made some money through theft. Mm. Now, for the latter pursuit, he often hitched rides on truckers or hop freights without any particular destination in mind. Despite his proximity to the murders, police take Sells' confessions with a huge grain of salt. And I have not really ever seen a huge grain of salt. But that's how they're taking it.
It's what you put out for deer.
Oh, yeah, the salt licks, yeah.
That can, Brandy, drive your blood pressure up.
It will.
Can the two of you, but here I am.
Well, anyway.
You think Michelle Johns was ever a carny colonel?
No, I think she was an assassin.
She's pretty badass.
Yeah, Michelle Johns, she is pretty badass. She's, you know, she's going to be my next
wife.
I know. I've called dibs on Michelle Johns. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think she's down for that.
No, she said the other night that she might have some interest in it.
No, I think that's one of those things.
I'm not really sure.
If she reaches 70 and she's not married and you're not married, then maybe.
And he's dying.
What you're saying is the possibility is there.
Money. Right.
You're saying the possibility's there. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
So, now his claim to which seat Keith Plymouth he was shot in is belied by the evidence. When asked how Elaine's body was positioned, he first answered incorrectly, then correctly, which might have been just a lucky guess. So, when Sells confessed, Joanne Dardenne was convinced of his guilt, but as the years went by, even she thought he was a little sketchy. Mm. So, now this guy ended up confessing to more than 70 murders at the time of his execution, and authorities were only convinced of his guilt in 22.
I don't think we've covered him, have we? I don't think we've covered him on the show.
No. He's a liar.
It sounds a little stupid for us to cover.
Yeah.
Who this Sills reminds me of, Timmy? The talking dog.
Mm.
The talking dog. A guy goes to this. He sees an ad for a talking dog for sale, you know, and he's got to find out about it. So he goes over to the guy and says, you know, I hear you hear a talking dog. I don't really believe this, you know. And guy's like, no, I got him. Come on out. And it's a German Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And guy's like, go ahead and talk to him, Pete. And the dog's name's Pete, too. And he's like, well, dog says, what do you want to know? And he's like, oh, my God, the damn some bitch talks. He's like, tell me about yourself, Pete. And Pete starts to say, you know, he says, well, you know, I was a pup. And then, you know, 9/11 happened and I helped through that. I sniffed, you know, I was trying to recover people. And then, you know, then we had the war and I went over to Afghanistan. I sniffed out IEDs for the soldiers and I did all that, you know, I had my time in. I got to be 10 years old, and they retired me, and I came out here, and I'm with this man right now. And this guy is going by him. He's just amazed and fascinated. And he says to the owner, he says, I can't believe you're going to sell this dog. I mean, this dog's amazing. Why would you want to sell this dog? And the owner says, because the son of a bitch is a liar. He was never in the military.
Okay. That's a good story there, Colonel.
It's one of my favorite jokes. To this day, Timmy, the chilling Illinois family murder remains unsolved. Timmy.
Okay, Brandy, what's your final thoughts on the Dardenne family murders? What do you think happened, Brandy, if anything?
I don't know. I think there's some twisted son of a bitch out there that's never really gotten his
so you think it's
just desserts.
You think it's someone that's not been identified yet?
I would say so.
Do you have an idea? Do you have a theory on why he did it, or think it's just random? Or
I think from the way it sounds, again, it was one of those things where it was very, very personal about something about them. Something about this family angered whoever it was. They sounded like they were kind of isolated. It was one of those things where it was like a perfect situation.
So you think
where they could be out there and people would yell and scream and holler and nobody would come to run and look. Nobody would do anything because they're so far out. They're in this trailer.
So you think someone had a motive to do it. It was personal. Someone had a motive.
I think they're twisted, I can't imagine what their motive would be to kill these babies.
Right.
But, you know, there was something, it seems to me like it was personal. Usually people just don't beat a stranger to death.
Right.
Now, it does happen, but, you know, usually it's because there's been some kind of, you know,
bad review on iTunes.
A reason in their mind. Yeah, but this just sounds very, it sounds very personal. It sounds like somebody's, you know, you've got to take your time. It really takes a huge shitheel and a horrible, horrible person to bludgeon literally bludgeon a newborn, like still covered with schmutz.
Yeah.
Bludgeon that baby.
Yeah,
and the 2 or 3 year whatever little however
yeah.
old little Petey was, fuck that guy.
And they cut off the guy's penis.
I don't think there was necessarily a shit heel. I think there was just a deep, deep level of insanity in that. I think it was just
oh, there'd have to be something.
So do you think, Colonel? You think it was a random type of deal, Colonel?
I don't think it was random, but I do think they were crazy.
I don't know if it was random because Keith was sitting by the window with the shotgun all the time, so they would have had to.
Yeah, that's odd behavior. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like you and the raccoons or something.
But you gotta wonder, Timmy, what made Keith. See, that's the key point that I'm getting at is that Keith.
He was spooked.
I think Keith was doing something a little sketchy.
He was spooked, wasn't he?
That's why he was sitting there about with the shotgun all the time. Mm. And then all of a sudden, whatever it was, caught up with Keith. That's my speculation. If I was a detective, that would be the angle. I'd be looking into Keith's background real close.
I'm going to
I think the person was definitely crazy.
I'm going to go with Tommy Lynn Sells because he was in the area. He confessed to it. He probably killed 70 people. You don't know all the details. You know, you could forget details. And
that's
he was
true.
In the area. I'm going to go with him because he's a bad person anyway.
Well, I'm ahead up to Illinois, and I'm going to look this up.
All right, Colonel.
See what
please do, and let us know what you find because everyone
I will,
wants
Timmy.
To know and also work on, you know, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald lyrics while you're at it. All right, we would like to.
I'm going
to
do
it. We would like to thank all of those of you who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee little.
All right, Colonel, you want to give out some shout outs to say thank you to all those who support us?
I will. To me, let's go with Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford. Brandy McBride, Jennifer Savoda, Maggie Glover, Gracie's Mom, Hyro, The Comeback Podcast, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Phyllis Munson, Jennifer Riker Smith, Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett Benderbrovich. Let's see what was on my list. Ursula, a.k.a. La Nick. Of course, our dear, dear friends, Timmy Clark and Diane Trowbridge. Beth Ann Wallen, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacey Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, They Walk Among Us podcast. Their book just came out this week.
Yes, I've got the audio book. So I'm excited. Yes, yeah. I'm excited to listen to it. They Walk Among Us.
My book's going to be here June 12th.
It's available on Amazon, and the audiobook is available on audible.com, which is the same as Amazon, I guess.
Yes. Lorna Violet, Michael Dale, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener, Kylie Jones, Lord.
I'm going to
give this shout out here.
I bet Kylie Jones have had a run in with carnies before.
I bet she has.
She's down there in Florida, and they you know, that's where they winter, right? Down there in Florida.
That's carny headquarters down there. I'm going to post this in our group. For people that use Twitter, Timmy, if you're not following Kylie Jones on Twitter, you're really missing
What's her? Do you know her? Do you know her handle on Twitter?
It's Foxdwine. Yeah,
okay, I'm not a Twitter.
She's hysterical. Do you follow her, Devil?
Of course.
The girl just cracks you up,
and she follows me. It's amazing.
She follows me too. Jessica Greeno, Lauren Meredith, Mike Brown from Pleasing Terrors, Sarah Bloom, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kimberly Cambron, Elise Edrigan, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Marquia Smith, Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, a lovely Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, the wonderful Shirley Strapp, Melissa Montoya, Todd Long, Maja, Shelley, Carol Elise, Kirsten Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, The Context to Clarity Podcast, Paula Kimes,
and Spy Stories Podcast.
And Spy Stories, yes. We split them up, Timmy. Canadian True Crime, Charlie from Insight, and she's got the new one.
Crime Lines.
Yes, Crime Lines. Charlie from Crime Lines. That's actually a very good
one. Don't forget to mention Nina's new podcast.
Nina, Don't Talk to Strangers.
Yeah, Nina lost her father, and we're all bummed about that.
A good friend of our show.
Good friend of the show.
We're dedicating We're dedicating this show to Joe.
Yes.
He
was a good guy, and we're going to miss him.
We are. He really was an interesting guy. And it's a big loss that he's, to the Dweeb family, because he really made the Dweeb Cons very interesting to me.
He did. A lot of fun.
Guy could tell a story, man.
He was a lot of fun.
Angela Santos, Lydia Walsham Fisher, Kim Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Shireen Nehran, Amanda Lupus, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith. I haven't seen Kimberly around in a while. I hope she's doing well.
Yeah, stop and say hi, Kimberly.
Robin Sherrard, Ruth Keith Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Natasha Burgess, Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt, the wonderful Timmy Lady Beverly.
The lovely Lady Beverly.
Of course, Rudy.
The Wonder Dog.
And the woman we do this all for week after week, Timmy, Dottie Scott.
Well, she's good.
I hope Dottie, we all hope you're doing
well. We hope the body count is enough for her this week.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, borderline. We got into cells when, we got into the 70 murders. She was like, then that's more like it right now. That's a serial killer I can get behind.
Dottie right seems there. To have a bloodlust.
She really does.
She does.
Okay, we're going to try to get these out more frequently, right, guys?
Yep.
We took a little time off, but we're back. So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Good
day. Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.